like you keep your finger in Luke chapter 1. Last week, we looked at the life of Joseph. And Joseph, indeed, was a spirit-led believer. He received dreams from the Lord, and he obeyed what the Lord showed him what to do and how to do it. And his focus in his life, his entire life's focus was, the entire time we see him in Scripture, was to say yes to God. Yes to God. To follow his lead. To protect and lead his family. Literally, Joseph put Jesus first. Come on, say it with me. Joseph put Jesus first. He says, yes, God, I'll take Mary to be my wife. Yes, God, I'll raise your son. Yes, Father God, I'll accept your assignment. Incredibly, as we learned, we have no recorded words from Joseph in the Bible, things that he said, but we see his actions. His actions of total obedience, saying yes to God, and he obeyed God's leading. He got his family right where they belonged at just the right time. And then, interestingly, after the age of 12, with Jesus in the temple, if you remember the incident, we read no more about Joseph. He did the will of God. He obeyed God, got his family right where they belonged, and he started Jesus into his life. We don't know when he passed, but by the time we get to the cross, when we see Jesus on the cross saying to Mary, "Behold your son," he wouldn't have done so if Joseph was still alive. But he gave his mother to the care of John. John 3 verse 30 tells us, "He must increase, but I must what?"
Decrease.
Out of the NIV, the version says, "He must become greater and I must become less." Let's talk for this morning for just a few minutes about how Mary says yes. And the first point is opportunity hearing. Say that with me. Opportunity hearing. Put your finger in your ear. Most of you are obedient. That's good. Opportunity hearing. You can't do that when your ears are plugged, can you? Opportunity hearing. You heard the old phrase, opportunity comes what? Opportunity comes knocking. God guides, he leads, he provides, he reveals his will to us step by step. And sometimes, man, don't you wish you could see all the way down the corridor of time and know exactly where God wants you to go? Don't you wish, like me? You know, don't you wish the Bible, instead of saying his word is a lamp unto my feet step by step, don't you wish it said his word is a beacon for my forehead? Don't you wish? But step by step, he speaks to us, leads us, guides us. We just need opportunity hearing. We need to be pointing in the right way, in right relationship with him. Able to hear and able to respond. You all remember the story of Johnny, little Johnny and the cat, right? The parents are in the other room and little Johnny's stroking the cat. But what they hear from the other room is the cat going, raw, 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 and they go out to see why this cat is suffering. And little Johnny's there stroking the cat backwards. How many know cats don't like to be stroked back? Stroking the cat. The cat's going, raw, raw, and they say, "Johnny, why don't you stroke the cat the other way?" Little Johnny looks up. He goes, "Well, why doesn't the cat turn around?" And sometimes that's how we are with God. God's trying to lead us and speak to us and show us and guide us. And it's just grating against us. We go, "Oh man, Lord, why are you doing this? And Lord, why don't you handle me differently?" And the Lord just looks patiently and kindly and says, "Why don't you just turn around?" You know, the repentance, the definition of the word repentance, big word, big spiritual word. And we all hear bad news. Repent, repent, you sinner. But the word repentance means I'm walking this way. And when I see what God wants from me and I'm missing it, I ask his forgiveness. I turn around. And instead of going that way, I make a 180-degree turn. That's the definition of the word repentance, to turn around. And God says, "Why don't you just line yourself up just right with me. Turn around, Kev, and I'll guide you just the right way. Opportunity hearing. If we want to hear from the Lord, we need to get ourselves in right position to hear from the Lord. So in Luke chapter 1, where you have your finger there by now, in verses 5 through 25, we read about Zacharias, or Zechariah, whichever translation you're using, and Elizabeth. They're older folks now. Probably, the scriptures tell us, or in the treatises tell us, they're probably over 60. He's a priest who serves in the temple. And there were probably about 18,000 priests taking shifts in the temple at this time. And each of those priests would do 2 non-consecutive weeks per year in addition to being of service in the feast times when they would come. So Elizabeth is married to a priest, Zacharias, and he's in the temple doing the ministry that he's supposed to be doing, and he's probably got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He's going to light and serve with at the incense in the holy place. If you remember the tabernacle and the temple, you had the outer court where the sacrifices took place. You had the inner court where the showbread and the oil of anointing and the table of incense took place. And the table of incense, the book of Revelation tells us, is the prayer and worship of the saints. So he's ministering, and then you have the holiest of all, right? Where the ark of God was. So he gets to minister at the incense table. Once in a lifetime opportunity. They would go in quickly to their ministry and then go back out. But all of a sudden this morning, he's taken a long time. How many remember the story? Elizabeth, or Zacharias rather, has taken a long time. Now he and Elizabeth have never been able to have a child. She's been barren. And they've been praying for years and years. And after a while, it gets a little discouraging, doesn't it? When you pray so hard and pray for so long and you wonder, does God even hear me? Is God even there? Does he listen? Does he hear? How many know God listens, sees, and hears you this morning? Yes. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, he hears you. But he doesn't always do it fast enough for me, does he for you? He doesn't always do it fast enough. And Lord, don't you hear my prayer for me, my marriage, my family, my kids? Don't you know, Lord, don't you see what's going on? But God did hear their cry. Now, at that time, just a little bit more background. To have no children at that time in Israel was economically and socially a disaster. They had no one to care for them in their older age. Socially, the law showed them having children, and barrenness was sometimes a mark of sin and judgment on sin. But people knew Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous. Most people would proclaim barrenness the problem of the wife. How many know that's just not true? That's just not always true. But it's also not a mark of judgment. It's simply something that happens in life sometimes. But contrary to the convention of wisdom, they were righteous. How many remember Sarah? Abraham and Sarah, remember? Abraham and Sarah cried out to God, give us a child, give us a child. And he tried to make that happen on his own. And that didn't bring blessing, did it? Verse 20 shows us that the angel Gabriel brought the word of God to Zacharias while he was right there in the temple, and it took a long time for him to come out. So Zacharias hears from God, you're going to have a child. It's impossible. But all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible. Now just to hang in here with me for a minute. Others had heard the word of God, had trouble believing. Remember Gideon? Lord, make the ground wet and the blanket not wet. Lord, make the blanket not wet, or wet rather, and the ground dry. And the Lord kept coming through and speaking to him. But this one, this time, when Zechariah said, this is just impossible. This isn't going to happen. We're too old. How can you do this? God said, because you didn't believe me, what happened? Who remembers? He wasn't able to talk. Now, in some cases, that might be a blessing. But Zechariah wasn't able to talk for the 5-6 more months that it took, or however long it took for the birth to occur. I believe in a 9-month birth. Don't hear me wrong there. But the birth still occurred, and the blessing still came, and he couldn't speak until he said, "The boy's name is John." He lost the joy of sharing what God had done for him until later. He limited God based on his own limitation. Now, come on. He limited God based on how he saw himself. Come on, listen to me now. He limited God based on how he saw himself. I can't. I've done too many wrong things. God can't use me. Or I'm too old. Or I'm too young. Or I'm too fat. Or I'm too skinny. What limitation do you have on your own life? When God comes and says, "But I can through you. I can." He limited God based on his own limitation. So he didn't exactly have opportunity hearing. Do you ever go to church and not expect Jesus to do something for you that day? Did you ever go to church and not expect anything different? They're going to sing some songs and we'll hear a message and Pastor Kev will jump around a little bit. But when God comes to you and to me in the middle of the service and he speaks something to your heart and you know something, you sense that God's trying to say something. When he comes and when he does that, what do you say? How do you respond? Do we say, "Go away, God? That's not convenient. Do it another time. Lord, I'm not ready for that. I don't think I can take time for, you know, maybe the Lord will lead you to go talk to somebody and make a relationship right and get healing in your life and maybe go to that person and apologize or ask forgiveness or go make sure things are right." And you say, I don't want to do that. I don't have time for that. And or do we try to pass God's word through our filter? Say, "Not now. Don't interrupt me, God. Come on, don't look so holy at me, you guys. You're all looking like, can't relate." Sometimes we act like, "Lord, I don't have time for the interruption." But what should we say? What does opportunity hearing say? When God comes and says, "I want you to do this, Mary," what did she say?
Yes.
Yes. Opportunity hearing says, "Lord, no matter what you want to do, yes, Lord." Come on, say it with me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Right alignment. Do you know what happens to at least your tires when your car's out of front-end alignment? What happens? What happens? The wear pattern. Even if they're brand new tires, you get a wear pattern. What do you have to do, usually? If you don't get it adjusted right away, and you don't trade them all around and do all that, what do you have to do, even on newer tires? Buy more new tires. You don't head down the road just the right way. How do you line up with Jesus? Number one, get right with him. Be right with God. How do you do that? "Lord, come into my heart. Save me. Be my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean." You go, "Well, I've done that." Okay, but are things right in your relationship with God? Line up just right. "Lord, I'm sorry I turned away. Forgive me. I repent. Wash me by your blood." Every one of us go through that all the time. So get right. Be right with God. He doesn't make it hard to be right with him. Aren't you glad Jesus came for you and me? Be right with God. Number two, be in his word. We around here try to encourage everybody, read the Bible daily. "God, I don't have time to read the Bible daily." If you don't make time to read the Bible daily, it only takes 10, 15 minutes. Read a psalm a day. If you don't make time, your soul will never have the strength to walk right with God. Say amen or oh no. But it's true. If you want to have the Word of God strengthen you, what? Read the Word daily. Around here we have Bible reading schedules in the back. Even if you don't do the whole thing, read a psalm a day. Let the Lord speak to you through his Word. Number three, be in church with his people. Turn to each other, look at each other and say, "With you?" Be in church with his people. You know why? Because number four says, you can encourage each other. Why do you go to church? You encourage each other. "Hey, man, you can do it. Hey, you can run after the Lord. You can hear from God. God can speak to you. Mary said yes. You can say yes. I can say yes." And when you do and you share with each other, you go, "Oh, man, that is so cool." Huh? How do you get in right alignment with God? Encourage each other. Say yes to him. Number three, Mary says yes. Number two, like I said, I know how to count. We're in the heavy math now. Mary says yes. Luke 1, verses 26 through 55 specifically, Gabriel comes to Mary with God's message. Now, by the way, church, because Joseph was of David's line and Jesus would be his legal son, Jesus would qualify as being part of David's royal house. And the promise is that God would always have one to sit on David's throne. And Jesus is in that line. Now, in Judaism, when you read the scripture about virgins, virgins were young maidens, usually 14 or younger. Mary was probably between the ages of 12 to 14 years of age. The term that Luke uses here for virgin also indicates she had had no sexual relationships with a man. Nazareth, by the way, in this period, was a little insignificant village, an estimated maybe 1,600 to 2,000 people. And so there's some background as you go to the scripture. Watch the scripture. Luke 1, specifically, 30 through 32. Luke 1, 30 to 32. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Goes on then to say, "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end." So that section of scripture is powerful about who Jesus is. Now Mary simply asks, "How can it be? I've never had sexual relations with a man." Watch what the angel says to her in verses 35 through 38. If you have your Bible there, it's right there. There'll be verses up on the screen. "And the angel answered and said to her," in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." And I'd like for you to read out loud 37 and 38. It's up on the screen here. "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Stop. What do you think's impossible this morning? What do you think is too hard for God when it comes to your life and mine? "He can't use me. I can't be forgiven." Oh, there is nothing impossible for God. "I can't get a new start." Oh, there's nothing impossible with God. "My marriage doesn't sing anymore." Oh, Jesus will give you a new chorus. Amen. Jesus will give you a new song. Yeah. Some of you look at me like, "But I can't sing." Sing it anyway. Right into your spouse's ear. Go for it. I'd like to see that. No. Nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, read it with me, please. "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord," or the maidservant of the Lord, "let it be to me according to your word." Let's read that last part, the italicized part again, please. "Let it be to me according to your word." Watch this out of the Passion Translation. It's fantastic, guys. "Then Mary responded saying, 'This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord as his servant.'" Watch. "I accept whatever he has for me." Come on, say that with me. "I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." Do you see Mary's opportunity hearing? Mary didn't fight with God, go into this kicking and screaming. Mary said, "Okay, I don't know how, but Lord, if that's what you want, yes to you." Say it with me. Yes to you. Mary's opportunity came. We don't see in the scripture before this that she'd had visions or seen angels. Undoubtedly, she was a tender-hearted worshiper of God, humble and receptive to God. Isn't it interesting? A bit of a contrast between a priest in his over 60s and his struggle and doubt of the Word of God, and Mary as a young teen saying, "I don't know how this is going to happen, but okay." How do you want to respond? Like Zechariah's first response or Mary's? Mary said yes to Jesus, yes to God, yes to receiving Jesus. God said, Mary, I want to do something special in you, and I want to do something special through you. And Mary said, I don't get it, but Lord, do what you want. Yes, Lord. It's not complex. It's just simple heart response to God's opportunity. She didn't fast for 30 days to try to struggle to hear it. She just heard, listened, asked, responded. Just like you and I can do. Church, we don't worship Mary. There are millions of people who worship Mary and pray to her. We honor Mary. We don't pray to Mary. If you look at her story in the Bible, we so admire this handmaiden of the Lord, her tender-hearted obedience. I am not putting anybody down, but I'm saying if you're going to look at Scripture, you got to take what Scripture says. And we don't have any New Testament experience of anyone bowing down and worshiping Mary, but we have them honoring Mary. Blessed, she says, I'll be called forever blessed among women. Hey, isn't that the truth? Thank God. Thank God Mary said yes, huh? Amen. Our whole lives would be a lot different if Mary had said, no way, no how. But she didn't. She said yes. And we call her blessed. Please understand, the cost of that yes was considerable embarrassment. A lot of people didn't understand her. Didn't understand Joseph, didn't appreciate who they were, what they went through. By the way, isn't it interesting? Joseph and Mary started off in Nazareth, went through all of that, all the background gossip and suspicion and everything else while they obeyed the Lord. And guess where they circled? Right back around and lived. As they put to shame the gossip by simply living what God had done in their lives. Can't God do great things? God does great things. Lord, I believe everything that you have said will come to pass. She believed God and she bore the Son of God. Listen to her song of faith. We call it the Magnificat. Listen to her song of faith, verses 45 through 50. Blessed is she who believed, Elizabeth tells her, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then we have Mary's response. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit is rejoiced in God, my Savior. Goes on to then say in 49 and 50, he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Mary changed her life to say yes to God and put Jesus first. She really did. She put Jesus first in her life and changed. And at the cross, Jesus put her into John's care. Probably at the end of her days, she traveled with the Apostle John, but most likely the Apostle John, who pastored the church in Ephesus, died there in Ephesus, and most likely Mary did as well. We don't know, but we do know she was a woman who said yes, and thank God she did. Let me ask you a question this morning. As we take a look at this Christmas season, the messages are far more important than please give a nice gift to each other. It is a time to love each other. To give gifts of love, not expensive. If you give an expensive gift, that's up to you, but it's a gift you give because you love. We give because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Position your life to line up and hear him. Line up with God and his purposes. Line up with God and his purposes. Say yes. Whatever you want, Jesus, I want. And I put you first. I want you first in my life. And he's going to use you to change the world. You go, really? Yep. The world right around you. Family and friends, they'll see it. Just like they saw Jesus. Through Mary. Because Mary said, yes. Because a teenage girl said yes, do you understand that all of human history, including you and me this morning, are changed forever because a teenager said yes to God? You and I, you and me, we can say yes to God too, can't we? Mary says yes. We have a song we want to play for you. If you could just reach right around and flip those lights, that would be great.